Hey, Keith. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here with you. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good. I'm very excited for our conversation today. You're a, you know, author, speaker, teacher. You've recently written a book called Cojones, Grow a Pair for Success. And, you know, it's a really cool topic and idea, and I love it. And I'm excited for our conversation. So thanks for coming on.
You need honor, and I'm ready to rock and roll when you are, Shane.
Yeah, it sounds good. What inspired you to write this book? Like, what made you get into this area of teaching?
Well, I've done many things in my life. I've been involved in property, which you call real estate, maybe. I've been a hard, cold calling salesman. I've done some sales training. I've done some political advocacy and speaking. I've entertained on stage musically, comedically. And People told me, they said, you know, you got balls. And I've studied a lot of psychology as well. And my own journey, I just thought, you know what? There's something there. And I think, and I tried to hone in on really what are useful tools and actually what makes the most successful people tick. And I think it's having a pair of balls. It sounds crude, but it doesn't really, it's a mindset. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman, or even these days, gender neutral, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But it's about being what you want, saying what you want, and doing what you want, and sticking two fingers up at convention and naysayers. And that's it. And I love it because we're so busy walking around treading on eggshells, trying to live our life to please others. What about pleasing oneself? That doesn't mean we should be selfish, because I'm not. Actually, I'm quite a considerate person. In fact, I've been working today on a charity, helping, trying to get donors from my wife, the charity my wife runs. And I'm a very strong believer in helping others. But at the same time, the message is we shouldn't have to live our lives, through the spectacles of others, because we've got very different sets of goals, very different sets of ideals, very, very different sets of desires, experiences, and wants.
You're absolutely right, and I think you're spot on with that idea that, you know, in the world today, there's a very, you know, overwhelming sense of, like, trying to be very careful, walking on eggshells, trying to not offend people and upset anyone with anything you do. When in reality, that's not really possible, firstly, because people are going to be offended by anything you do or say, if it's public enough. And similarly, you know, that really just hurts your authentic being in terms of what it means to you to live the most fulfilled life, right? And so to live in a way that's unapologetic and authentic and really just, I mean, you know, there's lots of ways of saying it, but one way people often talk about, like, you know, embodying your truth, right? And what that means. And I think it's an important message for people to hear. And it's, you know, hugely inspiring to people to have someone who's out there just being like, yeah, just fucking do what you want to do, man, grow a pair. And, you know, take life by the balls, as you say, and then, you know, that's how you live. It's one way, I guess, a strategy of living well.
You know what, Shane? And, let me just sort of interrupt you. There's a great saying, it's probably in my book. Those who mind don't matter. And those who mind don't matter. And I've forgotten the saying there. And those who mind don't matter, and those...
I think it's those who matter don't mind, and those who mind don't matter.
Correct.
Right? Do what you got to do.
I don't know why I think, and, I missed that, but exactly.
Let other people say it.
Exactly. You know what? The most people who don't like what you do are the ones who don't really give a damn about you anyway. And if they, you know, at the end of the day, we shouldn't be living our life down to their thoughts, their beliefs. If we're not hurting them, tough.
Yeah, 100%. And that's exactly right. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, then do what you got to do, right? And just be you and do what you want. And otherwise, you're going to be trying to please other people, and the whole time just it's going to suck for you, right?
So well, precisely.
What is the response been like to your book? Have people?
It's been really good, I have to say.
Yeah,
and I have many. It's interesting because one of the testimonials is by the leading sports promoter in this country, Barry Hearn. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was very kind enough to give me a testimonial, and he said on the book, he said, "Look, this book is not for those who choose to sit on the fence. There'll be stuff in there that people don't like, and there'll be." Yeah. And he actually said to me, "It's a bit like Marmite, but you know what? I don't know if you've heard of Marmite. Many people like Marmite. Many people don't. But you know what? That's great. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to cater for the ones who like it. And I know that there are many people who like this growing movement, as I say, because I do believe that I will create a movement. We live in a world where everybody's scared. We're all walking on eggshells. You can't be what you want, say what you want, do what you want. Well, I think it's enough is enough. You know, in the last year, we've had COVID. In this country, we've had Brexit. And one of the reasons people voted for that is because people wanted to get back control of their own life. Well, if you really want that, then you're gonna need the cojones code. You're gonna need to grow a pair and live life on your terms.
No, absolutely. And I mean, the interesting part about it is that it's like, people have been, I think people always want to do that, right? They want to exercise as much control over their lives as they can because life is very uncertain a lot of the time, right? I mean, COVID's a great example where no one could have imagined that this could happen. And all of a sudden you're just upended and, you know, have to just completely readjust your life, perhaps not permanently, but at least for a, you know, 18 months or 2 years or something like that, that we've been through so far. And what's crazy is that, you know, the world of like, the sort of trend in the world at the moment is like, it's half empowering, but half not, right? Where it's like, there's a lot of people trying to like push for, you know, good things with good intentions, like, you know, equality and things like that. And that's all good, right? But then there is this other aspect of like walking on eggshells where you're afraid to be you, even though the message is you should be you, but only if that you matches with what, you know, sort of we think you should be, right? I don't know if that statement really made sense to you.
Well, it makes sense because that's the experience that the world is going. But you know what? Any kind of should is not. I lived up in a household of you should do this, you should do that. Many of us do, and I get fed up with people shoulding on me. And a should is a very much a demanding kind of word. I think at the end of the day, shoulds should be turned into preferences. It would be nice, but at the end of the day, it's down to you. It's true. People want you to live life on your own terms until those terms don't suit them. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it. And I'm saying, listen, stick two fingers up at the naysayers. As we said earlier, those who matter don't mind, and those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. And I say, you know, at the end of the day, this subject, this brand, this thing that I have focused in on isn't for those types of people because those people don't like to be personally accountable. They want to be able to blame others. They want to be able to blame others for their lack. I'm saying if you take personal responsibility, you will act in spite of. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect because I'm 51 soon, and I have spent many years living because of rather than in spite of. But we are all hopefully like fine wine, and I'm learning my own message, and I'm going for and I'm living by my own message now more and more. And I tell you what, if people live by that message, then and we can live to that level of authenticity, according to our inner true inner self, whatever we want to be, say or do, then we're going to be happier people. And of course, if the whole world, you can't change the world, you can only change yourself. And if the whole world were to, on an individual level, on a micro level, become more like that, well, on a macro level, the world would be happier as well.
Absolutely. And it's so important to realize that, like, change starts with yourself, right? You want the world to be better, but really, you have to look at yourself first, sort out your own house, as they say, you know? And you know, it's, I mean, it's not something that's usually taught, I guess, to us. You know, that, as you say, that there's all these should, and it's the only should that really needs to be taught is, like, you should follow your own truth, right? And do what fulfills you and what makes you happy. And then...
Well, I wouldn't even say that.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. I wouldn't even say that.
No, go for it. What would you say?
You may not even know your own truth. You may, yeah, at the end of the day, you need to, you shouldn't, it would be better if you did, but if you chose not to and you're happy that way, that's fine as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, ultimately, it's like, you know, being happy with where you're at. Just, and then, you know, making changes or doing things if you need to or if you feel like it's the right thing to do. And as you say, you know, we're all human, so it's not like we're perfect. But if you at least try and embody this message of just really going for it and just doing you, as some would say, then, you know, you're on track for a good life. Not easy necessarily, because life isn't easy, but it'll be much more fulfilling and rewarding because you're doing it for your own sake, right?
I mean, you know, it's interesting because only the other day, I've been trying to get hold of somebody. I do a tennis podcast with former British number one, and I'm trying to get hold of somebody who may be a good sponsor. I haven't got his number yet, but I managed to find somebody who I thought was the person to speak to, his number, and he had this other person's contact for me to get hold of. So when I phoned him up, I mistook him. I said, "Are you the person to speak to?" And he said, "No, you need blah blah blah. I'll send you the details." Then the following day, I hadn't received them yet, and I texted him saying, if you can send me the details, that'd be great. Sent me the email. I said, well, haven't you got a phone number? Because, you know, I always do it that way. Oh, you know, business. He started dictating to me. Business is done via email these days, what have you. And I went back to him, I said, look, email is very impersonal. I've never done business that way. If you've got a contact number, great. Came back to me and he said, read, and he sends me a link to some blog of his that is to do with, I don't know, like calling people up, some sort of, anyway, as if he's like the lawmaker in this subject. So I just sent him a reply saying read, and then the link to my book, because my book is about taking a bull by the horns and going for it. I'm not going to listen to somebody who makes rules up. We're here to break the rules within reason. Make your own rules.
That's funny. Yeah. That's so bizarre that someone would be like, you know, business conducted by emails.
It's arrogant.
And be like, if you don't know, check out my blog. It'll tell you
exactly.
All about
it. As if that is some sort of the Bible of how you do it.
The leading authority of business.
I do it my way. And listen, not everyone will agree with what's written in my book, and that's fair enough. But I, in my experience, if you take the bull by the horns, and I don't think there's any other way of doing things by phone, quite frankly, all the interviews I've done for the book, all the guests I've had on my podcast, are down really to me using some social engineering to get their phone number and calling them up, pitching them direct.
Yeah,
that's the cojones
way. I guess that's
where
all that sales. That's where all this, that sales experience comes in, right?
It is. It does.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the cojones way. Believe me. And it's interesting because someone said to me the other day, who doesn't have that mindset, oh, yeah, but people don't, when I was explaining this, oh, yeah, but people don't like being cold called. And I said, listen, no one likes to get some cold caller from another country, you know, when you know it's just a poor cold caller, without wanting to sound in any way racist. We get many callers from places like the Philippines and India calling us, and they're not properly trained. They're not well trained in how to cold call. I don't know how they do any business, but if you know what you're doing, it's the only way to do it. And none of the people I've spoken to, and they're quite well-known people, quite well-known names in my book and elsewhere, they've never said to me, how did you get my number? And I've built quite a good rapport with them afterwards. So it all depends on your skills to build rapport and your skills to, if you like, draw them in, get them on your side.
No, you're absolutely right. It's like, There'll be that initial moment of tension or, you know, of awkwardness. But if you know what you're doing, you can get past it. And maybe it doesn't work every time, but like it'll work a bunch of times, and that's good enough, right? And I think you have one of your 10 commandments, a Kahone commandments or something like that, which is like, if you don't ask, it won't happen, right?
If you don't ask, you don't get. So do it and you may. And that is exactly right. I mean, you know, my mum always said to me, if you don't ask, you don't get. But here's the thing. This guy who I was telling you about before told me to email. Cojones is also about being empowered. How am I empowered or in any ability to control my destiny when I'm sending an email, right? When I'm waiting, like a teenager waiting for the phone to go from a girl that you got you're keen on, or vice versa, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I like to take the bull by the horns, and that means not having to wait for the other person to get back to me.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, and it's a bold move, but it works, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you've got the charisma and the personality to go with it, and. It just, I mean, it's different and it's unusual these days, but it's, you know, good. I mean, to email and texting and stuff like that, like, it's easy, but it's impersonal.
Completely. Right? And you know what? It's funny because you hear these days that people break up relationships via text. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. People in this day and age have got the balls of a flea. With all due respect, show a bit of character. If you're gonna be, if you're gonna let someone down, have the decency to call them up and tell them in a nice way, you know, it's not working out. Whatever. But send them by text. That is the easy way out. The chicken's way out. You want to start growing a pair, then you have to lay foundations. Little things like that, I tell you, it's the difference that makes the difference. And unfortunately, we live in a world where people feel like they can just get the easy way out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because you also see it online, right? Like with all the shit and the hate that goes on Twitter and various other social media platforms, it's like, those people saying those things, like, they'd never say that to your face, right? Well, even over a phone call.
Well, absolutely, Shane. I mean, at the end of the day, as we said before, those that mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. So, you know what? I mean, it's interesting, this social media thing. I don't know why there's been this kind of movement about, oh, be kind online and all this kind of nonsense, you know, because... most of those people online are just bored people and what have you. The best thing to do actually is to ignore them, because if you go back to them or are harmed by them, you're giving them exactly what they want. If you ignore them, 100%. Don't pay them any attention, they go away. I don't buy this. I've done stuff on YouTube. I did an event a couple of years ago which went up on YouTube with quite a famous person. And quite a few people said, oh, this interview is crap or whatever. There were a lot more likes and thumbs up than there were criticisms. But you know what? I've had, you know, I believe in my own ability to do it. Feedback is good, but I get feedback from those I ask for it, not those who I don't.
Yeah, constructive feedback's worthwhile when you ask for it, right? And from people whose opinion you trust, not just some dude on the internet who's like, I don't like this or whatever.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. But also feedback generally, you'd be surprised how many people close to you start offering feedback when you don't ask for it. Well, if I didn't ask for it, it's not for you to give it.
Yeah, people do like to do that, you know.
People love to interfere.
People do like to be like, yeah, I know what you should do, you know. I know what's best for you. Here's what you should do, let me tell you.
I didn't ask.
Yeah. And if you did ask, then good. And if not, then I mean...
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you did ask,
and
you didn't hear what you want to hear, that's your problem.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. But to go back to the thing that you said earlier about, like, you know, if people want to start building up this momentum of taking life by the horns, taking the bull by the horns, like, you were saying how it starts off with small things, right? And
well, you have to exercise the muscle. Well, it's like what I said before, you know, sometimes not everybody can be ballsy. Not everybody has the cheek, the chutzpah. This is a word you may not know, but it's a Yiddish word for outrageous audacity. Not everybody has it naturally. It's a certain, some people, I've been told I get away with all sorts of things. Some people say it's amazing how you don't get whacked in the face because some of the things that I can get away with. And I think is probably just part of my personality. But in terms of growing a pair, I know people from working in a sales office that people just were scared to pick up the phone. People were scared to close. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are reasons behind that. There's all sorts of things going on behind the scenes, if you like. But there are many, many different tools that one can use in order to increase their ability to be ballsy. Okay. Whatever, in whatever aspect of life that is. And in the book, it goes into detail. It goes into the whole notion about thought, about the mirage of thought, because everything that we can't do is all our perception of what we can't do and what we're telling ourselves we can't do, or what we're listening to others tell us what we can't do. Okay, right. That goes out the window with these theories. And if you're naturally somebody who's never really done these things, you can't go in and sort of jump in the deep end, unlikely. So there are a number of different tools that we can use in order to grow the muscle. But, and I'm not saying you're going to come out the ballsiest person in the world, but I tell you what, when you start having a go, you are going to start feeling better. Because as they say, in 20 years' time, you're going to be more likely to regret the things you don't do than the things you did.
Yeah, and exactly. And you know, it even ties back into what we said. Like, if you don't ask, you don't get, right? And so have the balls to just ask. It might work out. And if it does, that'll be fantastic. And if it doesn't, okay, move on. Do the next thing, right? Don't worry about it so much.
Well, I think so. And not only that, Shane, I actually think, like in my book, approach anyone. I can't remember actually which commandment it is, but it's fear no one, approach anyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I had the opportunity to interview Donald Trump when he was president, I would have taken it. I wouldn't have been intimidated in any way. Yeah, he might have cut me short and not liked it. That's very likely. But I wouldn't be perturbed or in any way be intimidated. It's interesting because I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm a big tennis fan. I do a tennis podcast, I think I mentioned to you. And we were talking about John McEnroe, one of my idols growing up. But I was saying that as much as I like him, I don't think he is the pundit that other people claim him to be. And people are all intimidated by him. Literally, I know that from speaking to people in the game. People are intimidated by him. They're all scared of him. They all, if excuse my language, they kiss his backside because they're intimidated by him. They put him up on a pedestal. He's a great player. But this thing, being intimidated, you know what? Nobody's better than you or me, so nor is he and nor is anyone. Don't be afraid of anybody.
Yeah. So what do you mean when you say approach anyone? Is that like on the backside of fear no one, where it's like don't
To
people?
I think it comes from the sales background or whatever, but
yeah,
you can approach anyone. You want to speak to somebody? Why should be afraid of them? We put people up on a pedestal. This is the problem. All right. Yeah. I work with people. I said, can you, do you mind calling such and such for me? Oh, I couldn't do that. What are you afraid of? You know, at the end of the day, you cut someone, they bleed. And of course, in in the scheme of business, in the scheme of matchmaking, romantically, in many areas of life, you are going to need to speak to people, approach people, and have to ask.
Yeah.
Nobody's better than you. I don't care what they've got, how much they've earned, whatever. You cut them, they bleed. We start in the same place, we end in the same place. So what I'm saying is, if they think they're better than you, that's their problem, it's not yours. Don't you start thinking they're better than you. If you need them, you want to speak to them or whatever, and you knock on their door. You phone them up if you need to, if you've got their number. So what I'm saying, that's all part of grabbing the bulls by the bull by the horns and just having a damn good go.
No, and I think that's right. And it's such good advice for people, you know, because it's... I mean, I guess a lot of things do get in the way of that, right? Like fear, you know, fear of embarrassment or intimidation. It could be right when you don't want to talk to someone because you're like, oh, why would they talk to me or whatever it is.
But why wouldn't they talk to you?
Yeah, but it's all those thoughts that are just in your head that are just thoughts, you know, that have no necessary like reflection of reality. Right? It's just how you're perceiving it. But you don't have to perceive it that way. There's other ways to perceive it as well. And the other ways could be much better. Like, you know, your way of saying it's like, yeah, why wouldn't they talk to you? Or whatever it might be, you know? It's very curious. Have you always been like this? Like, or was it something that you developed over time?
Listen, I am not... ballsy all the time, and there is a lot of fears inside me, inside my head. My dog's come home here. He's kind of just a daycare, so I may have to go and feed him in a second. I'm just stroking his belly as I speak to you. But anyway, no is the answer. In fact, I've suffered from very low self-esteem over many years, and I never even thought that I had a brain until in my 30s. In my book, it talks about how I went to get my, I did a degree, it was a vocational degree. And when I went to the universities to pick up my final year results, and I got a reasonable degree, I just thought I fluked it. Never occurred to me, actually, you've got some capability yourself, you know. Are you still there, by the way?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you
hear me? Your video's been disabled, that's all.
Strange, but I can hear you. Hopefully it'll pop back up soon.
Yeah, so the point is that I can hear you, I can't see you. So the point is, Shane, is that have I always been like that? No, but there's always been something inside me that's been a bit quirky, a bit different. There's an old story, and it's in the book again. I don't know if you've read the book. I hope you've read it, or I hope you've read some of it at least.
Yeah,
but
I've read some of it.
There's a bit in the book. There you go. There's a bit in the book where I talk about the first time I ever sang in public. And we used to go to a famous pub here in North London every week. And on a Monday night, there used to be a singer guitarist. And he used to ask for people if they wanted to request and so forth. And he'd invite people out if they wanted to sing with them. And I remember saying to my friends, well, I'll do that next week. And the answer came back, oh, yeah, right, sure you will. Sure you will. And I probably said it pretty flippantly, but underneath I thought, you know what, I can do it. But there was a part of me, of course, that doubted myself. And the following week I did get up. I said, you know, he said, does anyone have a request? I put in, said, how about this song? Did you want to come and sing it? I said, okay. And, I brought a house down. I mean, I was a bit of a performer, so I used to get people going. And actually, people used to turn up every week to hear me sing and to entertain.
Oh, cool.
And but there's always this element of getting up on stage before you do it, where the the naysayers in your own mind. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon.
No.
I think I should have turned the email off. The naysayers in your own mind start coming up, and you got to bypass them. You just got to bypass them at the end of the day, and that's what I do, and that's what I continue to try and do. I'm not saying I'm brave all the time, Shane.
No, of course.
But I tell you what, I promise you that people will read this book. People will read this book, and I have absolutely no doubt that they will become more ballsy. And when you're more ballsy, when you go for it more, you're going to feel good about yourself, regardless of course, no one likes to lose in that moment. I don't like to say failure, because as they say in the NLP world, there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. Mm-hmm. But if you have a really good go at something, you're going to feel that much better. And this is what it's about. Most people in their life, you know, when we're born and then we grow up, people say, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
I want to be a fireman. I want to be a tube train driver. Of course, those ideals change.
Sure.
But we all have dreams when we were kids. But believe me, they are squashed like you step on an ant. And mm-hmm. we fall into society and do the good thing. Now, I come from a traditional family that it's probably being a good boy sitting behind a desk with a shirt and suit and tie on.
Yeah.
And it's still in the back of my head, actually. But
really?
The truth is, it's amazing how those dreams are squashed out of us. Squashed out of us. And that's because we through socialization, whether that be mm-hmm. the family, whether that be peers, but in society itself, these shoulds, musts, have tos get installed into our software, our brain software. They are part of our brain software. And many of the time, people it makes them down, makes them frustrated. Yeah. It makes them just disillusioned. People just live from day to day. But are most people really happy in what they're doing? Many are. Many are happy with the going with the flow. But many do want to live according to some sort of innate talent that they may or may not have.
Yeah. No, and I mean, what's interesting about it as well is it's like all these shoulds that society tells you, it's like, well, very often, even if you do the things you should do, like you're going to get there and you'll be like, oh, this what I'm supposed to be happy now, but I'm not. Something's wrong, right? And it's, you know, I mean, there's lots of reasons for that, but it partly because it's not what you want necessarily. It's what you want in terms of pleasing other people, but it's not what you want for yourself, right? Although, I mean, this is not a saying for everyone. Like, of course, it depends on the person, and lots of people are very happy to just be and do their thing, and good for them, you know? If that's what makes you happy, then power to you. But, you know, I've really been enjoying reading your book, and it's just the way you present your ideas, right? It's very compelling, because what you're essentially saying is, it's like, listen, there's opportunities for you, right? You make your own opportunities. And, I mean, I know this is a paraphrase, but this is how the message that I got from it, right? Is it's like, life's full of possibilities and opportunities, and you got to go for them. They're not just going to happen, right? But in order to do that, you got to have the balls to do things that make you afraid, that are, or not make you afraid necessarily, but do things that you're afraid of. Perhaps, you know, like, you know, as you said, going on stage, it's like, yeah, in the moments before, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this could go horribly wrong. And then if you don't do it, then you'll be more miserable than if you do it and it doesn't go as well as you thought it might, right? But if you do it and it goes better or at least as good as you thought it would, then, I mean, you're spot on track to just be great, you know, and just enjoy and really flourish in whatever it is that you're doing, because you're not holding yourself back. And, you know, things might not work out exactly as you thought they will, or how you want them to, or how you planned, and you course correct as you go along, and, you know, your dreams change and whatever it is. But the fundamental aspect behind it is that, you know, for me, it's like, it's that saying that, you know, courage isn't about not having fear. It's about overcoming your fear and doing it anyway. Right.
Well, and there's a famous book, yeah. Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. At the end of the day, yeah. Shane, this book is, yeah, partly about that, but it's also just dispelling this whole society we live in, which is so full of restrictions these days. Mm. People have said to me, yeah. Keith, your book's pretty hard hitting and you don't hold back. I don't think it's quite as strong as that, actually. But why yeah. should I hold back at the end of the day? And we're so scared to offend. I can't yeah. believe how you know what? You can go into a restaurant and people won't even complain if the food comes cold. They're so scared. Mm-hmm. I mean, pathetic. Grow a pair. You know what? If somebody's... it's a funny story, and I've said it before. Before lockdown, I was on a train going up to Manchester here in the UK. And, you know, I don't know if you know, in the trains, you've got like a table and you've got two seats and opposite, you've got two people as well, yeah?
Yeah, like a little booth.
So I took on some food with me, and the guy next to me, I didn't know him, he was picking his nose.
Yeah.
I was trying to eat my food. And every time I looked round at him, his finger came out his nose because he knew I could see.
Digging.
He stopped and then he carried on. Digging. I don't know what he thought to find. Maybe he thought he was going to find something more interesting, but I don't know. Because he was certainly searching for something. As we were.
Yeah.
But not in that way. Anyway, in the end, I turned around and said, can you stop picking your nose, please? And he goes, oh, okay.
That's fine.
And the two people opposite of me, kind of, you could see them smirking. But
yeah.
You know, I had to say something. But most people wouldn't say anything. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't, would they?
No. I mean, to be honest, I'm trying to think what I would do. I probably wouldn't say something either. Just because I'm like, I don't want any trouble. But you're right. It's not the right move. Because...
Well, listen. I mean, I don't know about trouble. But, you know, who wants to be eating if someone's picking your nose right next to you?
No, yeah. I certainly would probably stop eating. But... You know, that's the problem, yes. Right? Is it that bloody fear
people are
that
so
then
afraid
controls
of saying
you.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. And too much so. And I'll, you know, I do it too much probably too. Like, I'll own up to it. Like, it's not like I'm pretending to be some, you know, fearless creature or whatever it is. Mm. But there is a huge amount of fear. And it's on the one hand, I think it's definitely about, like, offending people. Which is questionable motives, let's say. But on the other hand, I think, you know, there's also a fear of just like, well, for me, at least, I have the sense of like, what if this guy's crazy? Like, I don't want to deal with crazy right now, you know? Like, what if all of a sudden he like picks his nose and he's like, and I say something and he goes, oh, you want some? And he like shoves it at me or something like that. I'm like, I don't want to get into some kind of like confrontation with this guy, like over his nose diggings, you know?
Yeah, but I get that.
But I have, I'm like jealous of you who does say something. And I'm probably like the other two passengers who sit there and I'm like, thank God this guy said something because this was... you know, atrocious or disgusting or whatever it is. But, you know, there needs to be more people who do say things and who aren't afraid to be like,
if we said more
shit,
things,
stop doing that.
Yeah, if people said more things. Also, yeah. By the way, I mean, look, you know, I'm not saying go around picking fights with people. That's not what I'm saying. But if you've got something to say, and then in many cases, it's important you say it. And if it's if you're not saying it because you haven't got a pair, mm-hmm. isn't it time you grew a pair?
Yeah, grow a pair. Cojones.
Exactly, exactly. And I tell you what, this is, this, you know what? I my aim is that this word, which is already a well-known word, but the mm-hmm. and the slogan and everything, becomes a meme. Because
yeah.
I think at the end of the day, if more people did, I'm telling you, we wouldn't live in regret as much.
Definitely. I think it could become a meme. And you're right, it should, because you sort of see the all these weird confrontations and situations of, like, you know, whatever it might be. And your immediate thought is just like, what are you doing? Just fucking grow up, you know, suck up or whatever it is and just deal with it or do what you got to do. Like, don't worry about this nonsense or whatever it is. And just, you know, live your life. And I hope that it does become that for you and for everyone, because it'll make a better world for people.
Everyone's so scared of it. Everyone is treading on eggshells now. I mean, you know what it's like, this political correctness. It's absolutely, it's gone absolutely mad. Gone absolutely nuts. Enough is enough at the end of the day, this PC world. Because these people, they jump up and down saying what you can't say.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when are they going to stop being offended? Get on with your own life, sort yourself out, grow up here yourself, you'll be happier, we'll be happier, and people will be more authentic. How much nicer is that? Enough is enough. The world's going mad. And this is, my message is the antidote. It's the vaccine for limitation. Forget the vaccine for COVID-19. This is the vaccine for limitation, self-limitation.
100%. I agree with you. And it does very much feel like the world is going mad. And, you know, the PC stuff is, it's a lot. And I don't exactly understand how it's become such a widespread phenomenon. But I think it's because people are afraid of speaking out against it, right? Because then, you know, that's the fear that we've been talking about. Is it's just,
you know, the interesting thing is, Shane, like in the book I put in about the former Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who I detest, I'll be quite frank. had he become leader of this country, I may have been sitting with you in Toronto, but thankfully he didn't. But he was in Parliament and his opposite number was Theresa May, who was the Prime Minister. And she said something and he sat down and he mouthed the words, and you'd have to be an idiot to not realise what he said. He's a stupid woman. This guy is an evil guy, in my opinion. He's an odious character. However, if he wants to say stupid woman, nothing wrong in that. People said it was misogynist. No, it's not. She's a woman. If he thinks she's stupid, that's his opinion. And she is a woman, let's face it. Unless she's not telling us something, but in my mind, she's a woman. And if he thinks she's stupid, then he can say what he likes. What I hated was the fact that he lied. I would have said, well, in my opinion, she is.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Where people get, like, all in a tussle about it is, it's like, I mean, I don't know the example you're giving, but just from the context, what you're saying, it's like, he's not saying she's stupid because she's a woman. That's misogynistic.
Correct.
He's saying she's a woman and she's stupid.
Exactly.
So that's my opinion on the matter. And they're very different. They're very different things.
And why did he lie at the end of the day? He could have just said, listen, let's face it, she is a woman. And I happen to think she's stupid. Sorry. If that offends people, tough.
Yeah. Who was offended by it? A lot of people.
The media always being misogynistic. Absolute rubbish. Misogynistic. Yeah. She's a woman.
Yeah.
And actually, some could say she's a woman female prime minister. That's okay, isn't it? She's the second female prime minister. That's okay. But if you tend to think she's a stupid woman, that's not okay. That's misogynistic. So it's only, you can only use the word woman when it suits you. She's the first female. She's the second female prime minister.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. Look what she's doing for the women's lib movement. That's great. And listen, if she wasn't actually a great prime minister, far from. But that's not because she was a woman necessarily, by the way. She was just quite poor prime minister, in my opinion. Right. At the same time, I was a big fan of Margaret Thatcher, who was the first woman prime minister or first female prime minister. But the naysayers may say, well, actually, you can't say that she's the first female prime minister. That's misogynist. Right. Because you're alluding to the fact that she's a female prime minister as if there is something unusual about it. Well, I'm sorry. It's something quite unusual considering she was the first. I was actually all for her and she's one of my all time heroes. There you have it. OK, but if you say stupid woman, God forbid. Yeah. My point is, end this nonsense. OK, be truthful. I don't like Jeremy Corbyn, but he says stupid woman. And I hated the fact he lied when he was questioned. He said he didn't say that. Right.
Right.
Obviously said that. Just be honest.
Right. Yeah. And also it's really weird, like hiding games, right, in the sort of political sphere about like what you can and can't say about the other person. Because, I mean, you know, in the sort of political debates, like I can't give exact examples, but they're always going on about how the other one sucks. And whoever's in party, they're like, this one sucks because of this. And I don't, and you know, if you vote for them, all these bad things will happen or whatever. So it's not like they have conflict. I mean, it's not like they have nice things to say about each other at the best of times.
Well, listen, there is something called respect, Shane. I mean, I thought when Donald Trump was bottom of the basement type of stuff when he was having a debate with Hillary Clinton or with Biden, I still think you can act with an element of class. I really do. And I just think there was absolutely no class, like children in a playground. You know, I think you have to be, it doesn't, see, this whole notion, this whole theory, this meme, it doesn't mean be disrespectful. Still means act with class, okay? You can be honest. You don't have to go out and be rude. You don't have to swear. You don't have to say, so I know you've sworn a few times, Shane, but that's down to you, not me and your listeners. That's all right. But, I'm not offended by it necessarily.
Yeah.
But the point is, I'm not saying you don't have to go out and be rude. You don't have to go out and offend for the sake of offending. And you can be yourself and still you can still be respectful and still be yourself.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Like, I certainly wouldn't want to give the illusion that you should disrespect people because that's probably not going to go well for you. But
no, yeah, you should. On the contrary, I like respect. Sorry, Shane, I'm interrupting.
No, go for it. I mean, it's hugely important to be respectful of everyone, even if they're disrespecting you. Like, you need to conduct yourself in a proper way. I mean, it might not be to just sit there and take it. That's not the. I mean, the right. You know, you'll do what's necessary or whatever it is, but speak what you got to say and then stand by it, you know.
And you know what, you can speak what you can speak as you feel without offending too much. There are linguistic softeners you can use.
Sure.
You don't have
like
to
what
say
do you mean?
Well, if you want to say something to somebody at work, you could. Yeah, you don't have to say you so-and-so. He say, listen, listen, John.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to have a word with you if you don't mind. I just want to express my feelings. I feel like you've been disrespectful to me. I feel like blah, 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 blah. And I'd be really grateful if you could monitor that or if you could act in a nicer way so we can all work together harmoniously and productively. What's better than that? Or say, you bastard, you look at the way you treat me, you are a disgrace. You may feel that way, but what's going to get you more results?
Right. No, you 100%, and that's the difference between, you know, conducting yourself with class and just, you know, expressing just anything that comes to your head, you know, about the other person. and it's still doing the right thing, right? You're still, you have the balls to, as you know, on theme, you have the balls to go up and say, like, listen, I don't appreciate the way you've been treating me. This is what's been going on. You know, how, let's do something to fix it, or whatever it is. Oh. And it's not just sitting back and taking it, and it's also not being confrontationally aggressive and, you know, whatever that side of it is. It's approaching it like an adult and with someone with respect, and you're treating them with respect too, because you're saying, listen, you know, these are the things you've done, you know, and now let's figure it out. Let's sort it out like, you know, two adults, and not yell at each other, or not do anything and just let the resentment simmer up until it explodes at some point.
Well, exactly. And I think, listen, there are people who don't have the balls to do that.
Yeah.
These theories, this meme, this mindset, which if you adopt it, it will change all that for you. Yeah. And of course, if you read the book, there are a lot of tips on how to do that.
Yeah. No, listen, it's great. And I really appreciate you coming on the podcast to talk about it. I think we've had a really cool, fun discussion. Where can people go and buy the book? I'll link to it in the description. But
Look, at the end of the day, Amazon is probably your best shout, because you can get it on Amazon.com. Obviously, many people, I'm English, so Amazon.co.uk. There are other online retailers. I don't know what their shipping situation is like, but there's Waterstones here, there's WH Smith. But Amazon, listen, yeah, who Amazon doesn't use Amazon these days, you know?
Yeah. What a powerhouse.
I'm not saying you have to go and line Jeff Bezos's deep pockets as such, but let me tell you, if you want to grow a pair, you're going to find a way to get the book.
Yeah. And I'll put all the links and that stuff in the description. But I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, I wish you all the success, and I hope we can help make your meme.
Likewise, you know, Shane. Likewise. And I want to say to your listeners, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to be fearless, unapologetic, and utterly authentic, most of us do, I would say, then go out and buy the book. And I just have one question to ask you. Isn't it time you grew a pair?
Yeah, it is. It's time we all grow a bloody pair. Take life.
Exactly.
Take the bull by the horns.
Indeed. Indeed. It's been great speaking to you, Shane, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yes, I hope to have you on again soon. It will be great. Thanks, Keith.
My dog has been waiting here patiently. He's come home from doggy daycare. And he's hungry. And look, he's lying down patiently, waiting for me to get up, go downstairs, and give him his dinner.
And he deserves it. Time for dinner for the dog.
It is. It is. All right. Take care.
Bye.